This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
It certainly is for the full hour on Saturday mornings, 9 until 10 o'clock. So you call now. Something going on at home, you need some advice, something's wrong, something needs to be fixed. We're not talking about counseling here. This is about home improvement projects.
That's right. No marriage counseling there.
514-790-0800. Walter Assey from Monopco is here in studio once again. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
Very good. Beautiful morning.
It is indeed. Yeah. First time I go out of the house without a coat. So.
Oh, yeah. That's a sign.
A good sign.
That's a sign. So are we guaranteed now no more snow? We're done with the snow?
I wish I could tell you that.
No crystal ball. April 19th. I remember when it snowed, because I can't remember anything anymore, but it was April 19th because it was my wife's birthday. And we drove downtown for lunch nonetheless, but it was...
Yeah, I was delayed 2 hours to take off on the plane, so...
You got there. You got there. Safe and sound.
That's right.
Very nice.
That's right.
That's all that counts.
And I got back.
And you got back, and you're here. Good to have you.
Or else you would have had to do the show by yourself.
No, we would have found you and called you. 514-790-0800. For example, just in on the text line, I'm not sure if we've addressed this before. Just bear with me, Walter. But someone has texted in, one of our listeners, would like to know if you could explain briefly the difference between quartz and granite countertops. That's from Richard in Laval.
Okay. That's a good question. Okay. The advantages of quartz, and that's why it's a bit more popular, is it have a bit less grains in most cases, so it's less busy. So if you don't want to opt for the busyness of granite, it's man-made compacted resin. It is less porous than granite, and in most cases, the color choices are a bit more. We have a lot more choices in quartz than we would have in granite.
So they're limited in granite.
That's correct. Now, for a more modern look, of course, quartz will work a lot better because they do have also the uniform colors with no speckles and no veins and so on and so forth. And they do have the veins and the sparkles and so on and so forth. So you have a lot more variety that way. There's also many manufacturers. So there's the lower end quartz, the medium end, and the higher end. So some brands are way more expensive than others. Granite in the streamlined colors, it's fairly in the same price range, except for exotic slabs. Mm-hmm. So that's where you would kind of deviate a bit. Question of resale. Just because 9 out of 10 of our, you know, of the people we deal with would rather have quartz, so quartz is a bit more popular right now than granite is. That's pretty much it. I mean, the only downfall of quartz, price-wise as well, again, and if you go with the mainstream colors in both, it's very comparable, so there's not really a huge difference. The other thing that I kind of, you know, that is kind of a negative or a disadvantage in quartz is that sometimes it does not take heat as well as granite. Don't forget, granite is a natural stone. So if you would put something that is extremely hot on a quartz, it might mark, especially in the lighter colors.
Do each of them have different challenges when it comes to installation, or is it more or less straightforward?
The installation is pretty much the same. Where it's very challenging, there's a new generation now, newer, I should say, which is porcelain countertops. Beautiful, gorgeous, and so on and so forth. The only thing is that the installation is the cutting and everything is very difficult. That requires a high degree of expertise. Mm. So if you don't know what you're doing, because don't forget, the porcelain slabs, they come very thin, and then you kind of glue them on a curdy board or sometimes cheaper marble countertops just to give it that thickness. That requires a lot of attention, because if you break the slab, you scrapped it, and it's a very expensive slab.
You know, it's a problem that we faced about 5 years ago when we wanted to replace a refrigerator, and I was just speaking to a friend last week who was facing the same problem, because in a lot of homes, the way the kitchen is designed, there's only a certain amount of space available to insert your refrigerator because of cabinets and the way, you know, things are structured, the pantry, the cabinets. And so you're limited in your choices when it comes to buying a refrigerator. If you want to buy something bigger, then it involves, well, I've got to have to make a cut now in this cabinet. So it's a very tricky proposition if you want to get yourself a bigger refrigerator. Sometimes you're limited to what you can put in there.
That is correct. And that's why when we renovate kitchens, the first thing we ask our clients is make sure to buy or choose the fridge that you want, because that's the, especially now, you have fridges that are 4 feet and 8 feet high. So there's so much choice. And use and choose the fridge that you really want. Even if you're not buying it now, you're buying it 3 or 4 or 5 years down the line. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, choose that fridge so we can make the hole for it, because it becomes very, very difficult to do it afterwards.
So, I mean, you've got to hire somebody. You have to hire a specialist if you want to, you know, make that cut in the cabinets. And
good luck finding them, because they're not really interested in those types of jobs. No, they're too small for them. They'd rather do the whole kitchen rather than, you know.
Of course.
It takes the same time. They still have to visit your home, take the measurements, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So they're really not interested. I mean, a lot of them are not interested in these small jobs.
Right. 514-790-0800. We have 4 minutes, so we'll bring in before we break. So Ken is on the line from LaBelle. Hi, Ken.
Yeah, hi, guys.
You want to talk about insulating the attic?
Well, so I have a house built in the 80s, and of course, you know, somebody comes, rings the doorbell and says, you know, you could have moisture problems, etc. We've never touched our attic for any type of work, so all the original insulation is there. I guess it has its R value of 15, 20, and he says, you know, we'll remove that, we'll give you blown insulation, you'll have an R value of 50 going forward, like... And I'm going to save maybe $35 a month on electricity, blah, blah, blah. Like, is it worth it? $3,000 estimated expense.
All right. A great question. Now, it's not really, I mean, I'm interested in the saving of the heating and the cooling and so on and so forth. But I'm more interested in what's happening in the attic when I don't have adequate insulation. So chances are, if your house is built in the 80s, it's not R50. And the code today, it is true that it's R50. Okay? So yeah. You don't want thermal conductivity. You don't want the heat from the house to meet the cold air in the attic. And then that causes condensation, and then that causes mold. And then you have all kind of other series of problems that you really don't want.
Right.
In addition to that, fiberglass, when it gets wet, it loses its R value. So let's say you started off in the 1980s with an R22, as you're saying, then you in those areas that got wet and moist, you might end up with R0, which creates a bigger problem for you. So it is important that you upgrade. Now, if the insulation in your attic is still in good shape, you don't need to remove it. What you could do, if you have the space in the attic without blocking your soffits, you could just add to it blown-in insulation to get to the R50 that you need. As a matter of fact, my personal preference, if you would have bad insulations at the bottom and then blown-in insulation on the top, simply because if you ever need to repair your ceilings and you have some type of a damage, you don't need to have all that blown insulation fall off on you while you're doing that.
Understood. Yeah.
So there's a certain advantages to have that. So again, you just poke your head, look at the attic. If you could walk around, check the insulation. If you find it's in good shape, then you don't need to replace it, and that might cut your bill in half, because now they don't have to blow in R50. They might just have to give you a few more inches. R20 or R30.
Okay. And just like, you know, the way we live, it's three bedrooms upstairs plus the bathroom. The heaters are never on in the wintertime. You know, we even sleep with the window open. So, like, if there's anything, it's an open concept, like with a cathedral ceiling, heat coming from the ground floor that comes up the staircase that I'll say probably mostly gets trapped at the platform and doesn't even... You know, how much heat can I be losing if I live that way in the winter?
Well, I want to ask you, if you open your windows in the winter, where the heck do you live? That's not...
I'll tell you honestly, when we open the window in the wintertime, our bedroom drops to like 12 degrees.
Okay. So, I mean, a house built in the 80s, there's a good chance it's well insulated.
Yeah.
Again, but my attic is always a problem. I don't want that heat that whatever it is that you have to meet the... Because don't forget, the attic is supposed to be technically the same temperature as the outside.
Right.
So if it's minus 30 outside and it's plus 12 inside, we still have condensation in the attic, and that's not a very good thing.
And you know, like, he went up there, gave a quick inspection, and he said, like, I don't see any real issues other than the fact that we're going to improve your insulation.
Good.
So maybe it's time to improve the insulation. There's nothing bad that will come out of it. Let me put it for you this way.
Okay.
The only thing is, instead of removing it and throw it in the garbage, if it's in good shape, just add to it and cut your bill in half.
There you go, Ken.
One more quick question. Okay, if I'm going to do a reno on my bathroom and I'm going to do some of the work myself, should I advise my insurance company and get like a little waiver or something for the period that that work's being done, just in case I run into a problem and I break something, have a flood, etc.?
It's always good to advise your insurance company of any renovations that you're doing in the house.
Okay.
Having said that, now there are things that they are going to grinch about and they might not like. So if there's any plumbing involved, they want to see a master plumber. Any electrical involved, they want to see a master electrician.
Yeah.
And that's normal because they want to limit the risk on themselves as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right.
Perfect.
Ken, we got to run.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for the call. 514-790-0800. Walter's here for the full hour. Free advice. You need something and you need to bounce off him, call now.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
All right, 9:23, and welcome back. It's Ken along with Walter Assey here, Home Improvement Show. Let's go right back to the phone, Walter, and we'll bring in Tula, who's calling from Laval. Hi, Tula.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Good morning. You want to talk to Walter about windows?
Yes, windows. My niece wants to change the windows in her house, and she's getting conflicting advice. We know about the Energy Star, but they're telling you that she doesn't necessarily have to go with Energy Star. If she doesn't go with Energy Star windows, what should she be looking at as far as the frame and the window panes themselves? Like, what is the most important thing to look at?
Okay, now, just for us to understand, Energy Star is all about energy efficiency. And that gets updated every few years, okay? So lately, in the last couple of years, there was an Energy Star update in Windows. A lot of the older technologies in factories or manufacturers of Windows was not adequate to the new Energy Star. So a lot of the mom-pop store type operations are now, some of them are pushing the older version of the Energy Star, saying, you know what, it worked for so many years, why you have to upgrade to a triple glaze in certain cases or so on and so forth, especially if it's not a casement, like an up and down or a slider, they really had to upgrade it.
Okay.
So that might be the reason why you're getting someone to push on you something that is not Energy Star.
Okay.
The bigger manufacturers have all adjusted to the Energy Star rating. Now, the only issue with a non-Energy Star window, if there are ever any subventions from Hydro-Québec or the government or the city, you won't be eligible to them simply because your house is not considered green, quote-unquote, anymore. Okay? So you want to be careful with that. Now, having said that, believe it or not, the difference between an Energy Star and non-Energy Star on the whole job is not that big. Okay? So that's why I'm saying it is worth exploring maybe other manufacturers that have the flexibility of offering the Energy Star rating.
Okay.
The only reason they're not offering it is a lot of the cases they don't have the technology to do it, or trying to push a cheaper window because they make more money on it. So explore your options and look for that for sure. Now, obviously, the minimum that you want to go with is double glaze. In a lot of cases now, even depending on where your home is situated, and in some cases you need triple glaze in some part of the house, depending on the sun exposure and so on and so forth. You want the low E argon as well. So,
and the aluminum or the hybrid kind?
The hybrid is always better because the thing with hybrid is you have two different materials that are stuck together, so the conductivity gets cut tremendously.
Okay.
So definitely hybrid is where I would definitely recommend in all cases. The low E argon, the proper... the other thing I like very, very, very important to mention. I like windows that have robotic welding. A lot of the mom-pop stores, the smaller operations, they like to manually assemble a lot of these windows. That is a practice I really, really, really don't like because you don't see any of the microscopic cracks, the voids, the air pockets that can come out of that. And that's where you would have, in a lot of cases, window failures. So you want to look at a manufacturer that have robotic welding in the technology, low E argon, the double glass. Now, another good practice is reinforced bars for your hardware, because most of the time the window breaks at the hardware level. So whatever opens and closes the window, a good manufacturer will think about that and will have a reinforced bar for the, for those things, or a double bar, a double support, if you wish. So these are little things, but they're important.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tula. Thank you for the call. It's 9:28. You know what? Before bringing a call in, because I have to break for news, can I throw a text question at you?
Sure.
It says, let me pick the one that I think will give you the, give us the shortest answer. We have an old cast iron bathtub, and the enamel paint is locally damaged around the drain. Is there a possibility of fixing it? And if so, are the chemicals that you use, are they dangerous to your health, or do they evaporate quickly?
Definitely. Cast iron is the easiest to paint, actually. So there are companies that do painting for bathtubs, special paints. Most of the paint today is have a lot less toxicity in it. So they use super acrylic. The fumes are not as as invasive. Obviously, ventilate, open windows while they're doing the job. So definitely they can fix it, and it comes out like new usually. Comes out, they really do a good job at it.
All right. One more thing from the text line. Is it your birthday tomorrow?
Holy ravioli. How would you know that?
Some texts are coming in. Please wish Walter a very happy birthday from Cassandra, Jason, Jessica, and Julia.
Oh, thank you. All right. And that's my munchkins and Cassandra, my sweetheart. So okay. Thank you very much.
Apparently, they're all downstairs in the car. No. It's 9:29. We're going to take a break, get you up to date from the newsroom, then come back with more of your calls with Walter here on the Home Improvement Show.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Yes, you are. Second half. Thank you for making it a part of your Saturday morning and your routine here on the weekends. 9:35, it's Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Right back to the phone, and I'm going to call up Steve, who's in Chateauguay. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, we're good. Good to have you on the show. You want to talk about aluminum siding?
Yeah, I'm in the process of getting a couple of prices for changing my aluminum siding, and I'm going to go to vinyl. I've got two prices, and one was just to remove the aluminum siding and put on the new vinyl. And the other one was to remove the old aluminum siding, put on the new vinyl, but also put in the isoclad in behind it. Right now, my house, I have no problems with the heating. It's not cold in the winter. What would you recommend?
Without a question, I'm a big isoclad fan.
Okay.
And I'll explain to you why. Beside the insulation aspect of it, what I like about it is the waterproofing aspect. Okay, so
very
if
good.
There's any water that goes behind the siding, and typically in the older days you would have had the fiberboard or the agglomeré or the presswood, it will rot these areas if it's a continuous and a repetitive leak.
Okay.
Now, if it goes and it touches the isoclad, you don't have that problem.
Okay.
So the isoclad will also extremely help in pockets where you would have thermal conductivity, where you'd have some type of an insulation. So it will hide these areas for you, and it will assist you into reducing the risk. Again,
okay.
Don't forget that you don't have problem with heating, but it doesn't mean you don't have issues with certain areas that lack insulation in your exterior walls.
Okay.
So anywhere you can help it in an older home, you'll be doing the right thing.
Okay.
Okay? It is definitely recommended. That's the only chance you're going to have to do it. I mean,
I
don't think you're going to change your vinyl siding in three more years when you start having heating problems.
Yes. See, my house was built in 78, so.
There you go. So you probably have the R12 with a paper backing, which is, you know, no vapor barrier, and definitely go with the Isoclad. Don't even think about it twice.
There you go, Steve.
Hey, thanks for the advice.
Appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Let's stay on the South Shore. Greenfield Park, and Lee is on the line. Hi, Lee.
Hi.
Hi. You want to talk about those floors?
I have some questions.
Yeah, you have questions. We have answers.
I've just removed an old piano from my basement, and I'm going to change the flooring. So I was thinking options of vinyl flooring down there, but what I have down there right now is parquet.
Yeah.
So it says, how do I go from parquet to vinyl flooring? Can I put it on top of the parquet? Should I remove the parquet? What's your recommendation?
Okay. So the quick question to you would be yes, providing that you are not putting a vinyl that you need to glue down. So if you have the click type vinyl, which if you are going that route, what I would recommend is the vinyl PVC planks.
Okay, the clip vinyl. And should I remove the, can I put them on top of the parquet?
That is correct. Now, you can. The good thing with the vinyl PVC planks is that it comes with cork backing. So it's
okay, so to get the cork backing on it?
Well, it comes, especially the better brand, they have a cork backing. Which is great because if it's in a basement, it helps in the humidity and also it's more comfortable to walk on.
Okay.
So vinyl PVC, the other good thing about it, it's waterproof.
Right.
And it's easily fixable when it's a better quality. So you just, if you ever have a water damage and you want to go underneath the planks, you just unclip the vinyl planks, fix your damage and click them back again so you don't have to buy a new floor.
Okay, all right. And so I just have to kind of make sure it's level with the parquet, and then it's okay.
Well, here's the trick, and that's a great point. The only downfall of vinyl PVC or any type of vinyl flooring, but specifically vinyl PVC, is that your floor have to be level.
Right.
If they're not level, it will open, and you will see issues with it. So just make sure that you put some type of a level just to see how good or how terrible your floor is in this case.
Yeah, because on the whole, it's like it's parquet, and it's there. It's level. It's like, you know, it's not for, like now for me, the parquet is okay. But I mean, just to have someone look at it and see if it's level.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you don't visually see it, that's a good thing. You know, if you see a bump somewhere or a crater somewhere, do fix it. Believe me, it will create a problem. Do not try to look the other way because it will create your problem, especially with vinyl planks.
Okay. My second, I've been on the show before, and I've just been journeying to get my balcony done in the back. Right now, I'm going to get it done, and I just want to know, because I've had some contractors come and say, you know, because I was going to put in cement pillars to support it.
Yeah.
And then someone said, no, use the, the posts down to the bedrock. Is that worth it, or is that a luxury, or what's different?
Technipier, you mean the Technipier type foundation. They both work.
Like if I'm going to put the balcony on something, it has to be up on pillars, right?
Yeah.
And so I was thinking of, I thought the usual way is to, you know, dig down and then fill it with concrete and put a pillar in there to support it so that it doesn't move, right?
They both,
is it worth? And then another contractor said, "No, get the
Lee.
What are those stakes called? Those."
I think Walter has an answer for you. Hang on.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a word in there.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. They both work. The Technipier is less intrusive, so you don't have to dig and you know you don't have the cement aspect of you know pouring cement and so on and so forth. The Sonotube would work as long as you dig deep enough, you want to go below the frost line and so on and so forth and put the sonotubes in there. So they both work. Technipier is much faster to do. So, I mean, they would come and they would literally do it. You don't have to do it in steps and then, you know, wait for the cement to dry and so on and so forth. So if you can get away and get it done with a Technipier, it's not also, I mean, the price, there's not a huge variance between the two because one takes more labor. The other one is a bit more expensive to get them there. So you shouldn't have a big variation in the price. But they both work. If you can get away with a Technipier, it's just faster and, you know, just get you on your way on your project in a good fashion. And in a lot of cases, it's a lot more foolproof. You have, you know, sometimes we've seen cases with sonotubes where they didn't dig deep enough and then you know, the foundation cracked and so, or the cement cracked. So that way you ensure that it's done well and, you know, you don't have to worry about it for a long time.
All right. Another step to look into. Okay. Do you have, is there places that I can find contractors to do that or?
Lots. Now, typically with these things, you have to try to geographically target them. So if you are in Chattogy, I think.
It's
funny, today we're getting the calls only from Laval and Chattogy, so I think that's where only CJAD is covering. if you Google TechnoPew and you just have it on your geographical location, you want to have local guys. People from Laval would not like to come and, you know, transport that much. So if you can find someone local, it would be great, or in the South Shore for that matter. But if you just Google TechnoPew, you'll have a whole bunch. TechnoPew. So P-I-E-U-X.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Good luck with that. All right. One quick one here. A minute. We have a minute to go before we break. Instead of putting a caller on, we'll get to the calls in a second. Could you please ask Walter, I want to paint a steel door, baked finish or spray by company. Can you do it yourself? He says the door is in great shape, but the color's not great. So painting a steel door.
If you're telling me to spray paint it or to do it, like you said, baked on paint?
Baked finish, it says?
Yeah. For sure, baked finish is where you want to go. But again, it's the price prohibitive. And what do you do with the door? What do you do with the opening when you take out the door? Mm-hmm. So a lot of the cases, you will do it in-house just for that.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right, 514-800 is the text line. Our phone number here is 514-790-0800.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Certainly is. Eight wonderful degrees out there. Heading for a high today of 15. Full weather forecast for the week ahead is on the way during the 10 o'clock news. At 9:49, back to the phone. Jill, hi.
Hi, Waters. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, so I had a strange problem in my duplex. I live in the first floor. All of a sudden, this was in the first week of March, the drainage in the kitchen stopped working. I brought the first plumber. He couldn't fix it. A second plumber came, drilled, went in with his snake 35 feet down. He couldn't fix the problem. It was too blocked. So he said, we need to locate an outlet, a cleaning outlet in the basement. They opened up the wall, located the outlet, but they required some kind of a vacuum to remove the water before they could continue to look for the blockage. We scheduled to do this 2 days after. And what happened? The day after the first intervention, the drainage started working all by it, on its own. It's been working good since then. So the question is, what could be the problem? I don't understand why it was blocked and why it suddenly started working all by it on its own.
Okay. When it comes to plumbing and plumbers, it depends how well or badly equipped they are. Okay. Sometimes you need to have a snake is not enough. Sometimes you need to have some type of a water pressure along with the snake in order to dislodge a certain blockage in the pipe. So if they don't have that equipment, typically they would not use it and they would just use a regular snake. So it depends who you called for the deblocking of the pipe. Having said that, so what might have happened, and again, we're just guessing right now because we don't know the whole fact, is they try to unblock it with a snake, you know, they kind of dislodge some of the blockage, and then, you know, it didn't work for a couple of days, and with the water pressure kind of dislodged by itself, and now you're free to go, and that will be your best case scenario. The other thing is that maybe the blockage is a bit further down the pipe right now, and what you're kind of benefiting from is temporary release relief of your issue. Having said that, if our pipes are clear now, it's a good time to pass your camera and see what's happening on those pipes, especially if you have older pipes. Sometimes you could have a crack in the below the foundation, it's corrosion, below the slab, I should say, and now the water is leaking into the slab of your basement. And I'm not trying to scare you, but it happens in older homes. So because now you're saying that your pipes seem to be clear, it's a great time to pass a camera, and that's by prevention only. You want to know what happened? That could explain it to you. Okay?
Okay.
That will also tell you how clear your pipe is from your home all the way to the city. Okay? So if there's anything that you want to do, the worst thing you could do is react when the problem occurs. And that because now you're going to have water coming out of your basement, and it's not really the best looking water. And, you know, a lot of cases you can't use the water under drainage in the house if you have a bigger problem. So periodically, every few years, when things get older and you know it and you feel it, get it checked out. I mean, we go to the doctor once a year to check ourselves out. Same thing for a house. I mean, we don't necessarily need to do it every year, but every time you see something is being used and abused for years and years and years, it's time to check it before it breaks. A lot of cases will cost you a lot cheaper as well.
Okay. I was just wondering, around that time, that was early March, we had a lot of thawing, like ice melting. Do you think there could be a contribution to that?
Do you have flat roof?
Yes.
Okay. It could be. It could be. I don't know if your drain was maybe did have some dirt around it and get blocked. It could be. I can't really tell you, but usually a flat roof couldn't. If you'd have told me you had a shingle roof, I would have told you probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be. It could be a reason.
What do you say, Joel?
Okay, I guess I have to have someone come with a camera to inspire, because this is really a mystery and I didn't understand why it started working fine all on its own.
That's right. Get it inspected. If they're clear, you don't have to think about it anymore.
Okay.
Good luck, Jill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. Let's go to Ville Saint-Laurent for Genevieve. Hi. Are you still there, Genevieve? Hello. That's too bad. She's been waiting a while.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hi, Sandra.
Hello.
Hi. You want to talk about your eaves spout?
Yeah, well, the house, we bought it 4 years ago, and the three out of the four corners, they're well done. The drain pipes come down, and they're sent away. But on the side of the garage where you come into the backyard, the downspout comes down, and as soon as you open the fence coming into the backyard, it's like right there on your left at the ground. And it just, like, it's just there. It ends there, and it dumps, it pours onto the pavie uni all the time. And I said to my husband, this isn't good. Like, all the water, it comes down, it just lays there, and it eventually absorbs. And he says he knows, like, we could pull it all up and put it down into the ground to drain, like, in the front. But then he said he was told that it's not good to have too much drainage going into your Le drain français.
French drain, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just not sure what to do with that one
right.
Drain.
Okay, so I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you have that downspout right there, it is all going to your drain français anyways. Okay?
Okay.
So there are different ways. You could dig a trench for it and get it to kind of leak down into a dry pit. So you go underground and you dig and you have it going into a dry pit. Or you could do it surface by putting at least a 5-foot extension. You want the downpipe extensions to drain minimum 5 feet away from your foundation.
I've seen cases
where people put 12 inches, and that's no good because it's going to end up going to your foundation anyways. So the magic number is 5 feet, and that will be your quickest fix. No downspout, just very important, no downspout should go straight where the foundation is. It becomes useless in any which, as a matter of fact, it's better not to have it, because in this case, you're going to have, instead of the water accumulating throughout the whole perimeter of the house, you're accumulating the whole water from the roof, and you're putting it in one area, which would really overcharge your French drain in this case.
Yeah. The only thing is, for us to take it away 5 feet, to like, that I was aware, but we have a cedar hedge, and then right there, like the way the land is scaped, it would go to the neighbor's house, and he has a window like right there for his.
So the trick is in the slope of the land. If you have a proper slopage, and let's say you can go the 5 feet and you can go the 4 feet or the 3 feet, that is 100 times better than what you have right now. So, you know, the idea is make sure that wherever you have is sloped away from the house, and that's where you want the maximum length of the extension. I agree with you that there's, sometimes there are certain hindrances and you can't have a perfect situation all the time. But ensure at whatever cost you that you are putting this away from the house. Now, this will be a real issue, and you will see it as a real issue when we have those big torrential downpours. You will see, you know, that will test your French drain and your foundation to the limits. It's also a big issue in the thaw period because the ground is frozen and the whole water will come down. So, you know, you really don't want to take a chance.
Sandra, we have to run. We're up against the clock. I hope that was some help for you.
Yes, thanks so much.
Thank you for the call. Walter, thank you for a good hour. Just in on the text line, good morning, Uncle Walter. This is me, Ryan. I would like to wish you a very happy birthday. I'm so proud of you. Wishing you all the best in life.
Oh, thank you, Ryan. I love this kid.
Very nice. Walter, thanks for a great hour.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Walter Assey from Renovco. Don't go anywhere. Lisa's ready to go. Lisa Christensen with The Car Show coming up next, right after the news on CJAD 800.